Well, the second meeting, I feel like, lived up to the hype. I mean, again, Arizona and Seattle with a grinded out, a tough game between the two of them. I mean, that feels like the rivalry of the future in the NFL. Kyler Murray and the Cardinals against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Both games, incredibly exciting, very competitive. And I enjoyed last night. A little bummed that I wasn't able to predict it correctly. Picked the Cardinals, didn't get it. So I wished my week 11 started off a little bit more on the smooth side of things. But nonetheless, still an exciting game. Great way to kick off week 11 in the NFL. And now, of course, that gives us another change in the NFC West. Seattle goes from first to third, now back to first. We got to wait to see what the Rams do this weekend. But unbelievable job there from Seattle last night. Really from both defenses. I feel like both defenses and both offenses did a solid job. And we will dive into Thursday Night Football here more this segment. Coming up next, though, we'll have our pal Terry here giving his predictions, and I'll give you the rest of my predictions for Week 11 in the NFL. We'll also have some NBA and NFL headlines coming up later in this hour. Then in the second hour, we'll talk some Formula One, take a look at the Mountain West scoreboard and some other college games coming up this weekend. And we'll have our pal, the Saxman, Rick Metz, in here to help us close out the show in the second hour. But let's get back into this Thursday Night Football game, because I think that was the best defensive game that Seattle has had this season. And that's the kind of defense from Seattle that we're used to seeing, a defense that swarms the quarterback. They don't give him a whole lot of time in the pocket. They make him feel uncomfortable. They're not allowing a ton of wide-open downfield passes. I mean, that's the kind of Seattle defensive effort that we're used to seeing. And I'm not sure where it came from all of a sudden this year, but they had a great game last night. And even though Kyler Murray was able to get off some big plays, I mean, he's just a playmaker. That's what he's going to do. I feel like both defenses had a solid game. They each got three sacks. I felt like they had some good pressure as well throughout the game for both defensive lines. But the offense just able to again, find those holes and find ways to exploit the defense just enough. And again, I thought both teams overall did a great job last night. Seattle had a very impressive opening drive, and they sent a statement to Arizona in that 12-play, 75-yard opening touchdown drive that we can move the ball however we want to, whether it's on the ground, short passes, medium passes. I mean, they were picking apart the Cardinals on that opening drive. And then, of course, the 25-yard pass from a scrambling Russell Wilson to find DK Metcalf there in the end zone to cap off that opening drive. It was a very physical and just very systematic opening drive there from Seattle to start the game. And then the theme of the first quarter really was either touchdown or three and out. Because Seattle has that opening touchdown drive, then both teams trade 2-3 and outs. Arizona with a 3 and out, then Seattle, then Arizona, then Seattle, then Arizona to finish the first quarter off with that 8-play, 50-yard drive that tied it up. Again, not as systematic of a first drive for Seattle on their scoring drive, but for Arizona to cap off that first quarter after having two dismal opening drives of that game, to then come back and have a solid 50-yard drive to end off the first quarter. And there was, you know, it needed a review because initially it was ruled a fumble that was recovered by Seattle, but we did see that Kenyon Drake able to break the plane there before the ball came out. Got the touchdown on the board and made it to 7-7 game at the end of the first quarter. And I think that was huge for Arizona just to see, you know, the way that game had started for them to be able to tie that game up in the first quarter. I think that was huge for their mentality. And Kenyon Drake, with that 2-yard touchdown there, which technically I guess came in the second quarter. The drive started in the first quarter, but technically the touchdown was actually scored in the second. But with that 2-yard score in the second quarter, that was his 13th rushing touchdown in 17 games since being traded to Arizona. He had just 9 rushing touchdowns in his first 54 career games with Miami. So the Cardinals have figured out a way to maximize Kenyon Drake, and we've seen that. Again, since he's been there in Arizona, his very first game with Arizona, he stood out with the way that offense was utilizing him, and they continue to do that with his time there in Arizona and able to help them tie the game up there 7-7. Of course, Seattle comes back, Tyler Lockett had another nice game for Seattle there. I mean, he has had a heck of a season in the first two games, or in their two games against Arizona this year, because Tyler Lockett now joins Hall of Famer Jerry Rice as the only player in the Super Bowl era with 20-plus receptions, 250-plus receiving yards, and 4-plus receiving touchdowns versus a single opponent in a single season. So Tyler Lockett has enjoyed his games against Arizona this year and had another big one last night. Had the touchdown there in the second quarter for Seattle to help put them up 13-7. More kicking woes as the extra point there for Seattle on that touchdown drive banked off. I think it was the right upright, but either way, he missed it, which made it 13-7. Then again, the defense for both teams step up. The next three combined possessions, two punts for Arizona, one punt for Seattle, 2-3 and outs. One for Seattle there and one for Arizona in those in that stretch of drives. And then Seattle able to end off the first half with a field goal there from 27 yards out, 16-7. And that was huge for Seattle, I feel like, not that it's a huge mental, roadblock to get over when you miss an extra point. But I think seeing that six-point deficit and knowing that an extra point could decide, obviously there could be more scoring throughout the second half, but just, seeing that it's just a six-point deficit, I think it's some way kind of shapes a team, maybe the way they approach their next drive or the second half. But I think that field goal putting it up 9 points helped them breathe a little bit easier. Not that they've been having trouble, Seattle, during that first half, but again, the way that Arizona can have just points on the board in the blink of an eye, I think that gave them a little more comfortability there at halftime to be up 16-7. And when Seattle is up, since 2012, when the Seahawks are leading by 4-plus points at halftime, they are 61-1. 61-1 when leading by 4-plus points at the half. And that includes the playoffs. The only loss came to Arizona earlier this season. So could the Cardinals do it again to Seattle in this game? They made a good effort coming right out of the gate in halftime, getting a touchdown to open up the second half as Kyler Murray was able to hook up with Arnold there for a 4-yard touchdown, make it 16-14. And really the third quarter, all about impressive touchdown drives. Arizona with that 11-play touchdown drive to open up the second half, but then Seattle comes right back and answers with an 8-play drive of their own. Then Arizona, a 15-play drive there as well to make it 23-21. So both teams showing there in the third quarter their offensive capabilities, just in case there was any question about it, which obviously don't think there was. Then we get into the fourth quarter. It's 23-21. Again, close game. Can Arizona find a way? Can their defense come up with a stop? Can their offense have one more explosive play? Their defense, again, forces Seattle to punt after just 5 plays. But then Seattle's defense maybe comes up with the biggest play of the night. It was definitely one of the bigger plays of the night, and that was putting pressure on the offensive line of Arizona in the end zone, able to draw that holding penalty, which it was close. It was close, but there was definitely holding that took place while Kyler Murray still had the ball in the end zone there. So a safety was called, put Seattle up 4 points now, 25-21. They get the ball back after that. They go down and score a field goal after a 12-play drive. They make it 28-21, and then the pressure gets put back on Arizona. And I thought, this is it. They've had it. They've struggled more this game than they had in the first game as Arizona, but they still have a chance. Down just 28-21, their defense able to hold Seattle to a field goal. And again, you think back to that missed extra point, could have been 29-21. Still a one possession game, but that then forces Arizona to at least go for 2 points if they were to score that touchdown. But that was not a factor. Arizona would go on to turn it over on downs, and then Seattle ran one play to end the game. But very impressive game from both teams. Again, you had just some standout. DeAndre Hopkins has surpassed his teammate Larry Fitzgerald as the youngest player in NFL history at 28 years and 166 days to get to 700-plus career receptions. So DeAndre Hopkins, and how cool is that for him to surpass Larry Fitzgerald? I mean, to have those kind of major veteran receiver against one of the best young receivers in the NFL, to have them on your same team, and for DeAndre Hopkins to achieve that literally while he goes back and stands on the sideline then next to Larry Fitzgerald. That's got to be a pretty cool moment for them. But DeAndre Hopkins, a great game there. Then Russell Wilson, he got right back into, stoking the fire for some MVP talks. I mean, again, it was a solid game from him, and he put himself in a little more elite company last night. He surpassed Peyton Manning for the most wins by a quarterback in their first 9 seasons in NFL history. Manning had 92, Wilson now with 93. But also becomes the third player in NFL history with 30-plus passing touchdowns in 4 straight seasons. The other two, Drew Brees and Brett Favre. Not bad company to be involved with there. But ultimately, again, fun game. This puts the NFC West right back, kind of, turned over on its head as Arizona was the surprise leader. Now Seattle gets the victory there. Big whip victory at home splits the season series between the two. Seattle now retakes the lead of the NFC West at 7-3. But that battle is nowhere near over. I have a feeling that all three of those teams, again, we'll see what the Rams do this week. But I think all three teams in the NFC West that are in those top three positions, Arizona, LA, Seattle, it's going to be a fun fight to the end of the season. This is just one of the few games between these teams that we have left, but really excited to see how the rest of that season plays out as we come down the home stretch now of this 2020 NFL season. But really just an unbelievable game. DK Metcalf again as well. Solid game. Three catches for 46 yards. Might not sound like that good of a night, but looking at his first game against Arizona, it was a bit of an improvement. Had that touchdown catch on his longest catch of the night, which was 25 yards. Tyler Lockett, 9 catches for 67 yards. Was targeted 9 times, so he did not miss a target during that game. And what a relief for Seattle to have Carlos Hyde back in the game last night. 14 carries, 79 yards, and a touchdown. He himself, Carlos Hyde, outrushed the entire Arizona team last night, who just had 57 yards overall on the ground. So Carlos Hyde with his 79, 22 yards better than all of Arizona last night on the ground. But ultimately, like I said at the beginning of the show, I think this is going to be the rival. It feels like this is going to be the rivalry of the future in the NFL because you have that cemented veteran now in Russell Wilson who can continue to make big plays. Kyler Murray, which as an NFL player, just every game seems like he gets more comfortable, more skillful, and just is getting just more and more open and free with his movements out there on the field. And I think watching those two teams this year in those two games. It's just you can't look away from it for all of the best reasons that football has to offer. But what a fun game last night. Seattle, the 28-21 victors now, 7-3 on the season, 5-0 at home. Seattle has yet to lose this season up in the Pacific Northwest. Arizona now it goes to 6-4, 3-2 away from the desert. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our pal Terry here, and we will give you our Week 11 predictions for the NFL. So we'll be back with that here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Welcome back inside the studio. Happy to have our pal Terry here with us today, man. This is a nice little surprise.
I know, man. It feels weird.
It does feel a little weird.
It feels very weird. But none of the headphone jacks work, but that's okay.
Yeah,
I speak loud enough. I can hear myself.
There we go. I'll let you know. I can hear you. I'll let you know if you start to sound funky okay. Over there, man.
Which is not out of the realm of possibility. So we're good.
But nice to have you here. Fun game last night. What'd you think of Thursday Night Football?
It was fun. It was really fun. I liked the way Seattle came out. Kyler Murray's special, man, but even he couldn't pull that. Seattle's D just shocked me.
I mean, best game of the season for them.
For sure, absolutely. And what's funny, because I was talking to somebody, because Ken Norton Jr. is Seattle's defensive coordinator, and he was Oakland's for a while and got fired midseason, and because they were 32nd in defense, just like Seattle is. So
there anyway, you go.
It was just kind of a nice little, but it was nice to see them respond, and I took Seattle, and it made me feel good that they won.
Well, there you go. I unfortunately did not take them. I picked Arizona yesterday. And
I figured it was time. Seattle wasn't going to lose 2 in a row.
They're not,
or 3 in a row. Was it three, two, three, something
three,
like that?
Three, yeah.
Yeah.
And, well, it would have been. No,
yeah. It would have been. And so there was just no way that was going to happen.
There you go. So. Well, smart man.
DK Metcalf is not human.
No, he's not.
Period. No.
Nope.
He's a machine.
That was some slick green hair he had last night, too. Did you see
yeah,
that?
I did. Yeah.
I saw he had a cover story on ESPN. I saw that, you know, as soon as you went onto the website the other day, it was a picture of him, and it was kind of like a burnt orange or like a reddish type of color on top. So when he took his helmet off, I was like, whoa, wasn't expecting that change off the bat.
Demolition
there.
Demolition man almost.
Yeah. All right, let's get into it. Packed week 11 NFL schedule. We'll start in the morning. The 10 a.m. window of games. We'll start with what could be a lot more interesting of a game now that Myles Garrett has been put on the COVID list. But the 3-5-1 Eagles going on the road to take on the 6-3 Browns.
I'll tell you what, I had Cleveland at first. Then when I heard that news, I think that hampers Cleveland severely. And I think Philly covers the 3. They may not win, but I think they cover the 3. But they're both of these teams are under 500 for against the spread, so don't put any faith in any of them. To be honest.
I unfortunately got my picks in this week before I saw that news headline that Myles Garrett was out. So I'm not as confident in Cleveland anymore. But then again, I'm not confident in any team in the NFC East really to be able to win a game, especially on the road.
Yeah.
So I can't change my pick now. I'm still gonna go with Cleveland. But I still feel pretty good about it. Still feel good about the Browns' chances at home to get the win there.
Line hasn't shifted at all, so that's, all right. I'll probably regret switching my pick.
And then we have an NFC South battle, the 3-6 Falcons going up against the 7-2 Saints, and it has been announced Taysom Hill, the starter for New Orleans, not Jameis Winston.
You know, it doesn't surprise me they're paying Taysom Hill more.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but since we're on the New Orleans game, this just came across from the ESPN app. Breeze will miss a minimum of 3 weeks due to his rib injury, so he'll be eligible to return week 14 against the Eagles.
Wow, all right, that's huge.
So there you go. So he's out at least 3 games.
At least. So in my mind, what New Orleans is doing and Sean Payton's doing is they're making sure they're paying this guy enough. They want to see what they have because he's never really started at quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah.
Except for maybe, some preseason games.
Yeah, and I don't think he was – I think Bridgewater was technically the starter last year when Breeze went down. They were just switching him in and out. But Bridgewater was the actual starter. So, yeah, this is going to be a good test for him.
Yeah, and if Taysom Hill doesn't look like he's, cutting the mustard, as they say, then Jameis Winston in there and see what happens. So,
yeah.
He didn't play horrible he was asked to,
pick sixes.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's a good
pick
sign.
Sixes. And so that's a start for him. So, but anyway, I'm taking New Orleans still with the -4.
Yeah, I said it a few weeks ago, and I'm still truthful to it. I'm not picking Atlanta again this season. I've never been able to read that team. I'm sick of trying to figure him out. Because they'll blow a 20-point lead and they'll come right back the next week and somehow figure out how to squeak out a victory.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what they are, but yeah, I still have faith that New Orleans is going to figure it out. Sean Payton, with having to do this last season, I feel like is going to know how to handle it. So yeah, I'm picking New Orleans to get the win over Atlanta. Then we have the 2-6-1 Bengals going on the road against the 2-7 Washington football team.
This one makes me nervous. just due to the fact that it's do I trust the Bengals? Do I trust the Bengals or Washington more?
Yeah.
Neither.
Yeah.
That's the question. But you know what? I like what Joe Burrow's doing. And I like Ron Rivera a lot. But I just think Cincinnati's going to do it. They're a slight underdog at 1.5. But they are 6-3 against the spread. So they will probably cover the spread at least.
There you go. Yeah, you know what? I put my faith in Washington last week. I was excited to see Alex Smith back out there, and he looked good. That team had a chance there. I mean, he had a good drive there late in the game to keep them in. I think it was the one that tied the game at 27.
Yeah.
But I still feel like he's going to have some issues getting back into the swing of things, getting back into that rhythm. And I like what Joe Burrow and Cincinnati has done. So I think this was kind of a gut feeling, but I feel like Cincinnati is going to get the job done on the road here. So I'm right there with you. I think Cincinnati gets this win.
Which should make you all nervous.
Yeah.
To be honest.
All right, here is one of the games that I had a harder time picking this week, mostly because of the possible injuries around it.
Yeah.
We know Christian McCaffrey's going to be out. The question is Bridgewater going to be there? And then, which it's not looking too promising that he is going to be. But then also, what's Stafford's status with the thumb on being day-to-day? I haven't seen any kind of for sure announcement that he's going to be ready to go either. So Detroit at Carolina.
I had a question mark next to this one because I wasn't sure if I was going to go Carolina or Detroit.
It's tough.
This is a tough one. And the line moved a point towards Detroit. I'm going to pick Carolina just because of my original gut feeling.
Okay.
For no other reason than they're just at home, you know? And I still don't know what Detroit is. I kind of know what Carolina is. Mavis is a good player, and he's a good fill-in for Christian McCaffrey. So if they can ride him and keep the ball away from Stafford, if he's playing, I think he is playing.
I mean, thumb day-to-day, I would imagine he's going to find a way to go. I just haven't heard anything for sure, but I would imagine a thumb day-to-day, he's going to be good to go.
Just keep the ball away from him and the Lions. I think Carolina is going to take it.
Yeah, I think Carolina, for their 3-7 record, they've played about that level, but I feel like they're a little bit better than that. I feel like Bridgewater and Rhule, they've gotten on a good page together. They've had some good rhythm, but I just feel like without Christian McCaffrey out there, I think if Bridgewater plays, he's not going to be 100%. It's they're going to struggle a little bit, and I'm going to go with Detroit. I don't feel good about it.
I want to shower afterwards. It's just not a good game to pick.
It's not. It's a rough one.
If you're betting on that, it should just be in a parlay, and that's it. That's my opinion.
I'm going to go with Detroit on the road to get that done because they've been surprisingly good on the road. They're 3-2 away from Detroit this year, so we'll see if they can continue that. But, that was a tough one to pick, but I'm going to go Detroit there. And then the 9-0 Steelers looking to stay undefeated going on the road against the 1-8 Jaguars.
The Jags, man. This is, of course, it's the quintessential double-digit home dog. Mm-hmm. I almost always take the home dogs that are double digits. And, you know, I think it's like a 65% clip that they cover, generally.
Not too bad.
No, and so this is a 10.5-point spread. Pittsburgh 7-2 against the spread. Of course, they're 9-0. Their play's been up and down, so I'm thinking they can get bit. I don't think they're going to lose, but I think Jacksonville covers the 10.5. Jacksonville's been playing.
Yeah, you know what?
All right,
Jake Luton, not awful.
Yeah,
he's been okay. No, I mean, nothing that's going to drop your jaw to the floor, but he's not out there, you know.
Yeah.
Throwing the ball away every throw or throwing interceptions every other attempt. I mean,
he's not scared. He doesn't look scared, and that's good.
That's very good. I think the Jags are going to put up more of a fight than maybe most people expect.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh on the road. They've already made comments that they're not overlooking Jacksonville. They're not going to look past this team like maybe Green Bay was doing last week to only win by 4 points. But I am going to go with Pittsburgh to win this game.
Yeah. Pittsburgh's going to win for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Jacksonville cut. Now, keep an eye on that. The over-under total, I think it's going to go over. It's 46.5
right now. 46.5?
I think it's going to go over. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored.
Okay. And then we have what was another kind of, in my opinion, a tricky game to choose here. The 6-3 Titans going on the road to take on the 6-3 Baltimore Ravens.
Tennessee has some injury problems right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a tailspin. They're not playing well at all. And I think the shine's kind of come off Tannehill a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's going to win, cover the 5.5.
Yeah, I was really going back and forth because Baltimore has not had that same kind of.
They're not playing well
either. Yeah, I mean, they have not looked even half as good, really, as I think they were last year.
Yeah.
They're really kind of they've had to count on a little bit of luck, a little bit of defense scoring, a little bit of special team scoring, and, you know, kind of spread out throughout the season. I mean, look at that Indianapolis game. They didn't have an offensive score until the second half.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been a little bit rocky and, yeah, I think Tannehill's definitely fallen off. He's not that same kind of game manager that he was early on in the season or towards the end of last season. But for some reason, I had a hard time really believing in Baltimore. I don't know why, but I just don't feel as automatic about them this year.
Lamar Jackson has to win a big game.
Yeah, I mean,
it's coming down to that point where he's going to have to win a big game. And then some people have already kind of jumped ship on him.
Yeah.
I haven't. I still think he's amazing and he's fun to watch, but he's got to win a big game. I would classify this as a big game.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the fact that this is a playoff rematch from last year when the Titans got the better of him in this exact stadium. Yeah. So I think Baltimore could be looking for a little revenge, but for some reason I feel like Tennessee is going to pull it off.
Tennessee's well coached, man. Anything can happen with that.
So they are dealing with some injuries, but I feel like if they can get Derrick Henry in motion, then, yeah. I mean, if he gets loose, it's tough to slow down. So I think the Titans pull off the win there on the road. And then we have our final morning game, the New England Patriots, 4-5, going on the road against the 2-7 Texans. What used to be kind of a classic NFL matchup, not feeling not that so way much. This year.
This is another garbage bowl. I hate it. I've got New England covering the 2. It opened at 1. It opened as a 1-point favorite to the Texans and moved over to the 2 for New England. I think New England's going to win it just because, obviously, better coached team. Yeah. Who's that? Romeo Crennel?
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of lame duck coach. So, man, I don't. And the fact that Houston's 2-7 against the spread. Yeah, I'm taking the Eagles or New England. Sorry.
I'm going to go with New England as well. I feel like Cam Newton, again, he's looked better, and he's kind of continued to look better this season than where he was coming off that COVID diagnosis when he returned there. I mean, the first 3-4 games back from that, it just looked awful, and he's starting to look a little more rhythmic, starting to have a little more pop to his runs. So it's not going to be a pretty game, but, I think New England is able to squeak it out on the road.
Yeah.
Then we have a 4-game afternoon session. 2 games kicking off at 1:05. The first, the winless Jets going on the road to take on the 2-7 Chargers.
Chargers.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
That spread makes me nervous, but
Chargers by 9.5.
Yeah, but Chargers, they're 5-4 against the spread. Chargers are better than the 2-7 record that they're showing. So for sure, I think. I almost said the Clippers.
Please don't. I hear that enough from Rick. I'm going to hear it like 5 times when he comes in the next hour. I don't need to hear it from anybody else.
I think the Chargers are going to win by 14.
I liked hearing that. All right. I'm going to go with the Chargers. I'm very nervous because this has been a rough season.
Yeah.
And it would be a whole new low this year if they were to give the Jets their first win of the season, especially at home.
You know me, I'm not scared to pick the Jets.
I know you're not. No. You've done it already this season, and it paid off.
I think just traveling across country, everything going on.
Yeah.
I think the Chargers.
Thank you.
I almost said the Clippers.
Thank
again.
You. Come on, Terry.
They're going to win outright, win by 14.
Yeah, I'm going to pick the Chargers to win. I want them to win by more than one possession. That's what I want. They need to have a feel-good comeback game this season with some of the bad. This is their opportunity to just get a good, feel-good win on the schedule. So, I'm going to go with the Chargers as well. The other game kicking off at 1:05, the 6-3 Dolphins going on the road to take on the 3-6 Broncos.
So, this one, I don't think this is as tough. My only thing is I just haven't believed in the Dolphins all year. Hmm. Well, I finally believe in them. They're going to win. They're going to cover. And if that doesn't scare you off, that's that's on you.
I'm also going to go with Miami. I think Tua, every game is starting to look more and more comfortable out there.
Although he popped up on the injury report, didn't he? Or I heard there was some mystery.
I heard they were looking into an injury. Yeah. I didn't hear whether or not he was going to miss the game.
He's not missing the game. Okay. But something happened to him.
But I think he's looked good. The team, again, has been able to keep up this winning momentum that they've found this season, whether it's been Fitzpatrick or Tua out there. The team is 6-3 right now, so they're keeping the pressure on Buffalo there in the East to keep up their winning form. I'm going to go with Miami on the road. I think they're going to be able to get this win. And then we have 2 games kicking off at 1:25. The first, the 7-2 Packers at the 6-3 Colts.
Indy's got a good defense.
Yeah.
But Aaron Rodgers, man, he's still discount double check Aaron Rodgers to me. So Green Bay, the spread's not that big. So I think Green Bay wins it. It's indoors, which just Aaron Rodgers' stats go up like 35% every time he's indoors.
Yeah, I mean, Mother Nature wreaks havoc on him.
It's not scientific, but he doesn't have to worry about Mother Nature. I think they win it. Win at least by three.
Yeah, I'm going with Green Bay in this game too. I've been impressed with Indianapolis this year. I've been a lot more impressed than I thought.
Yeah.
I was going to be with them. Rivers is getting some good rhythm. They've given him a solid offensive line. Their defense isn't looking that bad. Yeah. So I think this is kind of a shootout between Rodgers and Rivers. But I do think Green Bay is able to get the win on the road.
I do too. And I just now with that said, and I just realized I picked every one and a half point underdog on the board today. This week. So
there you go.
But out of all of them, Green Bay, I think, has the best shot.
All right, we have one other game kicking off in the afternoon at 1:25. That is the 2-7 Cowboys on the road against the 4-5 Vikings.
This one stinks.
Yeah, this is.
This one stinks.
This is a stinker.
Vikings. Vikings by 7. It's the public and pro money are both on Vikings on that one. So
yeah, I mean, Dallas. I mean, it's just been – hard to watch. I was going
to
say.
I'm happy to see it. But
yeah, I think Dallas just struggles too much. They have absolutely no idea what they're doing right now. They can't seem to get anything going. Ezekiel Elliott's not performing like they need him to with Dak out.
Yeah.
So I think Minnesota finds a way to win this game.
Yeah.
Then we go to Sunday Night Football, a game that we believe is still going on, even though the Raiders have a handful of players on the COVID-19 list. But the 8-1 Chiefs looking to avenge that only loss of the season on the road against the 6-3 Raiders.
Okay, now listen. I've made ridiculous bets when it comes to KC and the Raider games. And I said I'd go vegan if the Raiders won. They won. I'm still not vegan. But I'm trying. I do make better choices now. Let's put it that way. I'll pick an impossible Whopper over a real Whopper.
There we go. Progress.
Best progress. So I am not making any outrageous claims because Kansas City's going to wipe the floor over.
You know what? I admire the honesty
it's just how good Kansas City is. It's hard to beat your divisional opponents twice in a year. And so many of the defensive players were out, not practicing. You know, they're all going to like LaMarcus Joyner came off the list today, and so all the rest of them should follow tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all, you know, Kansas City's having to look for that bulletin board material and the whole bus victory lap after.
Yep.
I believe in the Raiders after last week. That was the game I needed, and to see that, okay, they do have it, they can do it, but this isn't the week.
No.
I really think that I never bet on the Raiders or against them, just so you know, full disclaimer, I never put money on the Raiders, but they're going to lose.
Yeah, I mean, Kansas City looking to avenge that only loss. They have, as you mentioned, that bulletin board material with the victory lap, and they're coming off a bye week. So they're rested, they're angry. And they're looking for revenge.
If the Raiders do win, I really will truly become a vegan this time.
All right, we'll have to hold you to that. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, I'm gonna go with Kansas City as well, winning on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then the final game of Week 11 on Monday Night Football, the 6-3 Rams looking to keep pace with the Seahawks now at the top of the NFC West, go on the road to take on the 7-3 Buccaneers, who could be licking their chops a little bit now, knowing they have 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Trying to hold off a New Orleans team that does not have Drew Brees.
I don't know which I'm leaning towards Tampa and the 4, but it all depends on which team shows up for the Rams.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not a big Jared Goff guy. I think, you know, he's better than most in the league. I think he would start. He's a starter. He would start on any 27 teams, I think, out there. But I just think Tampa's defense, they got, you know, they're on a mission. They got embarrassed a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so they're still kind of reeling from that. I think Tampa Bay wins.
Yeah, I think.
And covers.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay, that defensive side, as you mentioned, the rest of the season after that New Orleans game, they're going to have to prove every game that they can hold off teams. So I think they're going to be looking to do that. The Rams have struggled away from home. They have to go to the East Coast again this season. They made a fair amount of East Coast trips have the Rams so far.
They really
They could be used to it, but I feel like Tampa Bay at home against the Rams, the Buccaneers are going to get the win.
Tom Brady, I'm the same age as Tom Brady, and how I feel every morning getting up, I don't know how he does it.
So, well, you don't have the millions of dollars he's pouring into his body probably every offseason.
Nor the physical discipline.
There you go.
You know, I will sit and eat a hot fudge sundae at 10 o'clock at night like I did last night, but don't tell anybody.
We'll keep that between us.
Okay,
it's all good.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
but there you have it. Those are our Week 11 predictions. The Bills, Bears, Giants, and Niners are the four teams that are on a bye week this week. And probably a good point for all four of those teams to be on the bye. Maybe except for the Giants, because they had a little bit of momentum going. So maybe they're the one team that get hurt. But the Bills, Bears, and Niners, I think, will enjoy their bye weeks this week. But Terry, my man, thank you so much for coming in. It was
Thanks
fun to have
me.
You in here, man.
Absolutely. Loved it. Every time I'm on here, I love it.
But that is our predictions for Week 11. So we will be back with some NBA and NFL headlines here on the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM.
Go Ducks.
Welcome back as we continue with the first hour of the Spencer Wilson Show. Take a look at some NFL and NBA headlines. And Terry and I touched on it here. It's been talked about a little bit over the last day or so. But Taysom Hill taking over the starting job for the New Orleans Saints, at least for the next 3 weeks. And it's nice to have that answered now. I mean, if you're a New Orleans Saints fan or just New Orleans Saints, you can now really start to look at least the next 3 weeks. You know you're going to be without Drew Brees, and there's not a whole lot of time to try to figure out what the best way to manage that is. So I don't think we're going to see all Taysom Hill, but I think with all the talk around who Brees' successor would be last season when Bridgewater and Taysom Hill were kind of splitting duties with Brees out, and then Bridgewater chooses to go off to Carolina, I think that really put the spotlight on Taysom Hill, because Jameis Winston coming into New Orleans has that reputation of the pick sixes and not being able to deliver for Tampa Bay. So I feel like this is the time where, because Teddy Bridgewater didn't get that chance for Jameis Winston had, where he was a constant starter for a single team since he got into the NFL. He's bounced around. He's dealt with injuries. So I think the thought of what could Bridgewater give a team if he was the full-time starter, that played into the discussion or the talk around Brees' possible successor last year when it was Taysom Hill who made his comments about believing he could be a starting quarterback, wanting to be a starting quarterback. So I think those comments with the curiosity of what Bridgewater could give a team if he was a full-time, healthy starter. And we've seen in Carolina this year that it's pretty good. I mean, again, you know, he's trying to get used to a brand new coach there in Carolina. They did not have the kind of typical offseason and preseason that you would have. So I think for that, he's looked pretty good. But now that conversation isn't there, because we know what Jameis Winston has given a full-time starter. We've watched that whole story play out in Tampa Bay. So I think now is a good time for New Orleans to give Taysom Hill that opportunity. Let's truly see what he can be like as a quarterback, because we've seen him as a wide receiver. We've seen him as a running back. We've seen him on defense. We've seen him on special teams. And to know how versatile he is, I think almost takes a little pressure off of Sean Payton and the Saints. It's not like you have this guy that you're trying to figure out if he's going to be a quarterback or if he's just going to be taking up space on the bench. You know, if that this doesn't work out and you turn to Winston instead, you still have this guy who can play so many different positions and be such a different factor for you out there on the field. So I think this is going to be an interesting three-game stretch, and really it's going to be interesting to see how he manages against Atlanta, because the Falcons can be a good team. They can be a difficult team to beat this year if they're not blowing a lead or just getting blown off the field in general. So it'll be a good test to see how Taysom Hill can handle a team that has talent on it that can be competitive but hasn't been competitive about, you know, a majority of the time this season. So I think this is going to be a good first opportunity for Taysom Hill to be able to show the New Orleans Saints what he can do at quarterback, and then it'll give him an idea of how to approach the next two games at least, knowing that they're not going to have Drew Brees for at least 3 weeks. And will Bridgewater even be out there for Carolina this weekend as well? That's a big question. Talked about that as well. It's going to be a game-time call. So we'll see. We'll see how that happens. Lions also rule out their running back Swift for concussion protocol against the Panthers. So that game being so injury, possibly so injury affected, could just add another storyline to it. Could make that game a lot more interesting than maybe it seems right on paper there. But that'll be an interesting. I'll be interested to see how that game with New Orleans and Taysom Hill plays out this weekend. And then some NBA headlines. The Toronto Raptors will call Tampa Bay home to start off the NBA season. So, of course, the Canadian border, that travel restriction there between the U.S. and Canadian border still in effect. So, essentially, no one would be able to go up to play Toronto in Canada should the Raptors be up there. So, they have decided to go down and call Tampa Bay home, and they will play at the home of the Tampa Bay Lightning. So that'll be kind of cool. Steven Stamkos kind of gave him a shout out on Twitter, kind of laughing. Obviously, Toronto Raptors' whole kind of tagline or punchline is "We the North" or "We are the North." Steven Stamkos sent out a tweet yesterday that said "We the South" after it was announced that the Raptors would begin their season playing in Tampa Bay. So that was a pretty funny maybe not funny, but just a pretty kind of classic moment there between Steven Stamkos, obviously a huge member of that Tampa Bay Lightning's team, and now that they are the Stanley Cup champions, they'll be welcoming in a team that recently won a championship as well there in Toronto. But the Raptors will begin their season down in Tampa Bay. Not sure what the timetable really is to what it could possibly be for them to return to Canada and possibly play up there in Toronto. Obviously, the Blue Jays, that was an issue that they went through as well when trying to figure out where they were going to play their baseball season this past season in 2020. So it'll be interesting to see whether the heat or the humidity. I mean, I don't know if that'll be too big of a difference, obviously, with an indoor arena because you can control the AC and whatnot in there. But it'll be interesting to see if that plays any kind of a difference in Toronto. I don't think it will, but, you know, try to make it a little more interesting. But there you have it, Toronto going down to Tampa Bay. I wonder if they'll, with everyone coming up with these city edition jerseys, I wonder if they'll come up with a special Tampa Bay Raptors jersey to wear while they're down there. They can say Tampa maybe on one side, Toronto on the other. I don't know. But it'll be interesting. Maybe they'll throw together a Tampa Bay uniform kit for their games to start off the season down there in Florida. And then also something that was kind of interesting. Anthony Davis not fully committing to the Lakers. He's they're gonna look for a little bit of a bigger contract, but the fact that he's waiting to sign that deal with the Lakers, interesting to me, seeing as how LeBron James isn't going anywhere. And with all the success they had this season, obviously winning the championship, I feel like Anthony Davis, now I don't think he's really gonna go anywhere. I think this is literally just to try to put together a bigger deal for him. But I thought that was just interesting coming up, you know, right around the time of the draft, that he was going to wait before fully committing to the Lakers, maybe to see if they were going to draft somebody else or maybe what talent was coming to L.A. But I think this is just for contract talks. There's nothing more to it. But a interesting announcement yesterday from the East Coast, Gordon Hayward opting out of his Celtics contract and will become an unrestricted free agent. So, I mean, Boston had a solid draft. Of course, they bring in some new talent. They have that core of players there with Tatum and Brown and Walker. So maybe Gordon Hayward just feeling like he's not going to get the same. I mean, if he can stay healthy, obviously that's a big thing too. But maybe just feeling like he won't be able to get the same opportunity there in Boston that he was looking to get when he first arrived. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes, because I feel like Gordon Hayward is, I mean, he's a star, not necessarily an all-star or one of those top-tier players, but I think he's shown that he can contribute to a team on a high level. So it'll be interesting to see what teams go after him, what kind of deals pop up, and what comes of his future now that he's going to be leaving Boston. Not that I really think this hurts the Celtics. I mean, when Gordon Hayward missed a majority of last season, he wasn't there for the first start of the playoffs as well for Boston. It didn't really seem to affect the Celtics. I feel like Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, all these guys are going to be able to lead Boston. This core group of young players, Jaylen Brown as well, this core group of young players for Boston really kind of came into their own, started getting some good rhythm, some good chemistry between them throughout last season into the playoffs this year. So I don't think the Boston Celtics are going to miss Gordon Hayward that much. But it will be interesting to see where he goes and what kind of deals he gets offered. But those are some NBA and NFL headlines. We're going to wrap up the first hour of the show when we come back here at the Spencer Wilson Show on ESPN Radio, 94.5 FM. Real quick break there as we come back to wrap up the first hour of the show. Big thank you to our pal Terry for coming in and talking to me. Coming up in the second hour, of course, we'll have our pal the Sax Man Rick Metz in here to give us his opinion and his facts from the last weekend coming up. We'll also talk some Formula One, and we'll take a look at the Mountain West scoreboard and the college football scoreboard as well. Maybe even take a peek into the UFC card happening tomorrow night as well. But that's coming up in the second hour. We're going to throw it back to SportsCenter here at the top of the hour, and then we will join you after that. So I'll talk to you again a little after 2 o'clock, but we are going to send it back to SportsCenter for the top of the hour. So we'll be back shortly, and we'll talk to you then. Peace.